Bernard de Montreal. Preparatory Communication Number 10. The Spirit. As long as man has not realized the profound nature of his thought, as long as he has not realized the power of communication with higher planes, as long as he has not intelligently communicated with the origin of his thought, as long as he has not known the mechanics of his thought, it is impossible for him to understand what the word spirit means. And if he does not understand the nature of the word spirit, if he does not understand the essence of the spirit, how can he generate enough light in his life to understand his life and estimate its real value? The present value as well as the future value. Man must detach himself from his psychological conceptions of intelligence if he wants to achieve, one day or another, a greater or lesser understanding of the reality of his own mind, his own life, and his own intelligence. The spirit is not only a philosophical conception, but the spirit is also a reality coordinated with the activities of man and which generates in his intelligence a self-sufficiency. That is to say, a power to understand his own evolution, his purpose and the future that develops before him. The spirit is a force, an intelligent force. The spirit is intelligence. And any relationship between man and spirit becomes a relationship of communication that allows man to self-determine his life and to devote his energies to a vital creative process, which brings him where he must go, and not where he is driven by the existential events of an unconscious and mechanical life. The importance for man to understand the law of all communication with the spirit, based on the intelligence of his spirit, in relation to the intelligence of the spirit with which he communicates, is the fundamental stone on which any possible conception of reality must be built. Without this fundamental stone, man quickly exhausts his strength and contributes to the continuity of alienation between himself and the invisible cosmos. It is useless for man to seek by practical, spiritual, or philosophical formulas the attributes of the spirit, since the spirit generates in man only the intelligence that man is predisposed to receive. And this intelligence that he is willing to receive is always measured on the scale of the human personality and in conjunction with the life plan of this or that man. But it is no longer the quality or greatness of intelligence that becomes important when man is in communication with the spirit and his spirit gradually learns to discover. But it is the quality of his intelligence, the depth of that quality and the very virtue of the intelligence of that quality. So that any man, whatever his life plan, possessing the intelligence of the spirit, can easily agree with another man, whose life plan may be vaster and whose intelligence also vaster, but whose origin belongs to the same source, that is, to the forces of light. The universality of man, the universality of men, is represented by the consciousness of the spirit in man. And any relationship between the forces of light and the intelligence of man has quality only in the absence of the intellectual differences that personalities are willing to attribute to universal intelligence. The burden of human error is based on the conception of the intelligence of man, as expressed by his cultivated personality and conditioned by tradition. When in fact, human intelligence, whatever its virtues or qualities, hides behind it a picture on which universal intelligence is inscribed. But, unfortunately, this painting, cut off. Because, precisely, man, worried about his knowledge, and not having known how to recognize the writing on the board, refuses to see it as a pre-personality. So that over time, he is inclined to glorify his intelligence and to attribute all aspects of that intelligence to himself without recognizing the invisible breath in it. Over time, the consciousness of the invisible breath disappears and man plunges into the erroneous preconceptions he has of the real and invisible world. Man must learn to coordinate the nature of his thoughts with the intelligent origin of his thoughts, such that if his thoughts appear to him as not coming from him, he must take stock instantaneously, and recognize that an intelligence other than his own blows these thoughts into him, in order to direct him in the philosophical process of his life. But if man is not willing to recognize or is not educated in the recognition of this reality, it is obvious that he can never reach full self-awareness and eventually realize the depth of his reality. It is not a question of man getting caught up in the game of all the thoughts that can penetrate his mind, but rather of realizing that some of these thoughts come from a higher intelligence that watches over him and guides him in his evolution. Already, this first step will be enough to lead him, little by little, to put aside the incessant flow of intelligences, or intelligent or unintelligent thoughts passing through his mind, and seeking to create confusion in him. Man, always worried about his spirit, about his orientation, is obliged to undergo for a certain amount of time a kind of confusion which results precisely from the fact that the limitation or delimitation between the universal intelligence in him and the forms of planetary intelligence created by him over the years is not yet established. It is the lack of delimitation between the inner intelligence and man that makes the latter live a confused life, when he becomes more and more aware of the origin of his thoughts. Confusion is an essential state that is part of the stage of restructuring his lower mind for the development of the higher mind in him. The laws of the spirit are simple, but the energy that the spirit carries when it penetrates the lower mind of man is unprecedented in the thinking experience of man. And that is why the latter may experience a period where a certain confusion is established in his mind. But this confusion is always proportional to the personal attachment he has to his thoughts. Since every thought is a form, and since every untransmuted form of thought contains, within itself, an emotional quality directly related to the human experience, it is obvious that man, neophyte in his experience, must live its reality according to the very structure of his lower mental. Man's conditioning is so vast, so nuanced, that it is only with time that he learns to discern, behind his thoughts, in the jungle of his thoughts, another form of thoughts, emanating from a higher center of himself and serving to illuminate the very vast field of his thinking experience. The actualization in him of objective thought, of universal thought, reveals to him with a shattering certainty that the domain of thought is subjugated to form, and that as long as man is subjected to the illusion of this form, he cannot be in connection with universal intelligence. Man must become free in his thought, that is, his thought must come from the inner depths of himself, be totally personal, and not the result of any conditioning. Without this power of personal thought, which is also pre-personal, man is unable to situate himself in life in the face of his own internal reality. He is forced, by the same token, to face a reality that is not his own and that must necessarily prevail over itself, because it is completely created with by the collective consciousness of society or civilization. How is it possible for man to find himself, to face with himself, if he is not able to grasp in himself the increasingly thin thread of his most personal thoughts? This is why supramental consciousness, or man's contact with universal intelligence, is the very foundation of man's individual freedom and the haven of his personal freedom. It is not the universal in man that creates dissatisfaction, guilt, error, stupidity, but the intelligence of man infirmed by thoughts, by feelings, which are not born in the depths of himself, but rather in the conditioned layers of his mind. It is difficult for us to understand, to grasp, the incredible possibility that we have of using, of living in connection with the supramental intelligence, which seeks, by every means possible, to penetrate our consciousness. We travel a lifetime under a roof created from scratch by the opinions of others, by the thoughts of others, and often sown by the mistakes of others that we are forced to accept because we have no personal alternative. In other words, we do not use our internal or supramental intelligence. And what cripples us in the use of our supramental intelligence is precisely the fear we have of communicating with the planes from which this intelligence originates. For we are told, we are confirmed, that any communication within ourselves is either infantile or alienated. Whether some communications are alienated or alienating, it goes without saying. But once man has understood the laws of the mind, it will be easy for him to recognize the mechanisms of alienation, such that many of those who suffer from communications with other planes that delay their evolution and create confusion in their minds can be relieved of their pain. But the alienation of man is not common among people who seek knowledge, philosophical wisdom, or self-understanding. Man must not fear the infinity of his own spirit, nor must he fear the universal intelligence that seeks to bind himself to his spirit, in order to enlighten it and make it feel his own infinity. The science of psychology is a relatively new science. The importance of this science will be highlighted as man discovers the power of his spirit. but the power of his spirit will always be in relation to the growing forces of his intelligence. And his intelligence will grow when his spirit will be enlightened more and more by the universal spirit that directs evolution. From this moment on, the psychology of man will be a profound, marvelous science, generating in him the total knowledge of his being and the profound realization of his links with the invisible planes that direct evolution. Man can no longer continue to work alone, trapped as he is in matter, in space and time. Parapsychology will increasingly open the doors of what is unfathomable today. And psychology will seek to integrate in its studies the mystery of man, of all that is beyond the senses, beyond the sensory, beyond logic. That is, what is and what emanates from the spiritual reality of man. Those who have the opportunity, for one reason or another, to begin to study, on a personal level, the nature of their thoughts, the origin of their thoughts, and to instantaneously compare their true thoughts with their subjective thoughts, will automatically be the pioneers of a personal, intuitive and supramental psychology. The decline of unconsciousness in certain individuals can only result in the increase of supramental consciousness and communication between man and invisible planes. This is unavoidable given the very reality of the state of mind generated by the connection between the spirit of man and supramental consciousness, as manifested by a thought adjuster. It will be useful for you to know, and to understand, that any contradiction that arises in your mind regarding words or ideas emanating from the supramental consciousness stems from the inability of the human intellect to absorb the nuances of the spirit and to instantly generate in the lower mind the vibrations characterizing these nuances. The power of the verb, the word, is not only a form, but an energy in a form. The intellect attaches itself to the form when the awakened mind receives energy in the form. An awakened mind can perceive all the forms and subtleties of energy, and thus free itself from the burden of influences created by apparent contradictions, when the word used by the spirit is used to convey its energy. As long as the spirit of man is not awakened, as long as consciousness is not sufficient and the intellect reigns, man is powerless to separate the reality of the vibratory impression from the intellectual impression created by the apparent distraction of his true spirit against his rational intelligence, leading to a contradiction. Contradiction does not exist in the spirit. It is a product of human intelligence, unable to perfectly remember the greatness and depth of the thought that animates it. That is why it is so easy for the supramental mind to constantly thwart the human intellect, which is fossilized, rigidified by form, instead of being dilated, softened, by the energy of the spirit. In other words, the human intellect must become a shoe whose texture is made of soft leather, rather than leather hardened by use. The contradiction is at the very root of the lack of understanding between a man who is in the spirit and a man who is outside of the spirit. The contradiction serves the man who is outside of the spirit, to the extent that it allows him to believe that he can, or must, compete with the concepts expressed by the man who is in the spirit. Whereas the man who is in the spirit is never in a state of rivalry, he establishes the facts as they are presented to him by the spirit, in order to throw as much clarity as possible on the intelligence of things, for the evolution of the human intellect. If the human intellect tries to understand what the spirit wants to transmit, simply by using words, the form of words, then it will fail. For the spirit is in the energy that feeds the form, not in the form. As it is said in tradition, the letter is the letter, but the spirit of the letter is the spirit of the letter. The letter can be changed, but never the spirit of the letter. On the other hand, the human intellect that tries to feel what is in the form, what is said behind what is heard, will soften its intelligence of the form and, little by little, will come to grasp what wanted to be said, rather than grasp what it wanted to hear. There is never any contradiction in the spirit because the spirit is universal. The spirit is united by its very nature. While the intellect is forced, by its behavior, to divide, compare, establish categories, in order to diversify what he believes to be knowledge to be able to reach, at a given moment, a summation that allows it to believe that it reigns as master. That is why the intellect is proud before the spirit and complains about the contradiction that seems to emanate from the spirit. Hence, do not seek contradiction in the spirit, but seek contradiction in your intelligence. Seek the rift in your intelligence that is at the root of the contradiction, and you will see that the spirit is pure, that the spirit is prepersonal, that the spirit is beyond the intellect of man and that it serves to enlighten, to throw clarity on the disposition of human intelligence. In this way, you will be happy to hear the words of the spirit, for the latter will become for you a constant and permanent source of understanding and real understanding. As the human intellect aims to glorify itself, the search for contradiction, for it is a little like hunting that leads a man to its game. Armed with a tool made to the size of his intelligence, he kills a prey made to the size of life and believes that he had supremacy over life. It is not the spirit that distorts reality, but the human intelligence that is unable to receive it. So, we accuse the spirit, when in fact we should accuse ourselves. But man always prefers to validate his intellect, his logic, because he does not know the laws of the spirit and does not know how to communicate with the spirit, such that he has no idea how the spirit is generated in his intelligence. If you are attentive to the spirit in you, you will not seek and see any contradiction, because your intellect will be temporarily set aside, in order to let the light that is spirit penetrate. But if you seek contradiction in the spirit, you will amplify the pride of your intelligence, your intellect, and believe that you have surrounded the spirit. In this way you will delay the advancement of your intelligence towards the supramental, and you will close a precious door to intuitive knowledge and universal knowledge. If the spirit refuses to give you an information at any time in your life, it is not because it is not known to the spirit, but because the spirit must protect you from too much light, such that your intellect can get used to it and your emotions cannot be disturbed by too much revelation of the spirit which you consider intellectually important or interesting, but the spirit, because of its wisdom, knows the dangers. The human intellect is like a child. It wants to know today what it should only know tomorrow. And when it is denied what it should know tomorrow, it turns against those who refuse it. But tomorrow, he realizes that those who refused him yesterday were right. I tell you, man must be humble in knowledge, if he wants to have access to all knowledge, and not a partial knowledge that is more dangerous than all knowledge. A lot have harmed themselves because they knew a little bit of knowledge. If man really knew how much the spirit wants to transmit from himself to man, it would be saddened to know the condition that prevents that same spirit from revealing to man his light. That is why I say, the more you practice communicating with the spirit, the more the spirit enters you, and the more it enters you, the more it prepares you to receive the energy that is the very foundation of the knowledge transmitted by the spirit to man. As a man, we claim all kinds of abilities and exploits. But as soon as the spirit begins to penetrate us, we realize that its penetration is so powerful that the walls of our intellect begin to crack, and that we already fear the total rupture of these walls. And even then, we dare and we have the intellectual brazenness, if not intellectual pride, to claim from the spirit that reveals everything to us. And yet, the very penetration of the spirit into our intelligence becomes, at times, a terrible aspect of our experience. But we still have not understood. This is way. I warn all those who communicate with the supramental to expect nothing, to wait and to slowly live the experience so that the bonds between the intellect and the spirit may mature, so that the intellect may grow, soften, and become a solid reservoir for the knowledge that the spirit will bring to it when the time comes. The experience of those who have experienced the penetration of the supramental to an advanced degree will always serve as a measure for those who dare, for reasons of intelligence, intellectual pride, to want to get ahead of the times.